Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to give you an update on the mobilisation. The mobilisation was called by President Putin on the 21st of September, and it was recently closed and announced that 318,000 people were successfully signed up. But the direct associated negative implication from Russia's perspective of the mobilisation was that around 700,000 people actually fled the country. They left permanently to avoid this mobilisation. So in today's video, what I want to do is give you an update on the mobilisation itself. So we'll have a look at what's happening with those 318,000 people. I'll then go on to talk about some of the implications of the mobilisation. It's now starting to feed through into the economy. So I'll have a look at what's going on with regards to the automotive sector. The automotive sector's actually been in difficulty since the start of the war. Because this is a global industry, a lot of the big car manufacturers decided to exit from Russia after the invasion started. And that caused major problems for Russia because they simply couldn't get hold of the parts and equipment to carry on with the production. But the mobilisation is actually now changing the focus of the problems in the automotive sector. It's now starting to impact on demand. So it's not about whether you can build the cars, it's whether anybody actually wants to buy them. So we'll have a look at the latest figures that have come out for the automotive sales in Russia and what's going on in the sector. I'll then show you a really interesting story about what's happening with barbers in Russia, so the people who cut your hair. Because if you suddenly have a massive reduction in the number of men in a country, it's going to have a really big knock-on impact for a variety of different businesses. And barbers are one of those that are suffering because if there's less people to get their hair cut, obviously they'll be doing less business. We'll then have a look at what's going on in Georgia, which is one of the countries that has actually benefited from all of the people who fled the country. It's been reported that over 100,000 people have moved from Russia into Georgia since the start of the war. So that's having a real boom impact on the Georgian economy. So we'll have a look at what's going on there. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think the implications of this mobilization are for the Russian economy in the short and medium term. So before we get started on all of that, if I can ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you don't have time to watch the whole video, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and Amazon shopping links. And once again, I'd like to say thank you so much to everybody that has supported the channel. I really, really appreciate it. President Putin has announced that 50,000 Russian soldiers called up as part of his mobilisation are now fighting with combat units in Ukraine. In addition to those that have been deployed into active combat zones, a further 80,000 are in the zone of the special military operation, and the rest of the 318,000 are at training camps in Russia. And this announcement shows that the mobilised men are being rapidly moved into the combat areas, as the figure of 50,000 in combat areas represents an increase of 9,000 compared to the announcement that was issued on the 28th of October. So the men that are being called up as part of the mobilisation effort are now being fast-tracked and sent straight through to the front line. And we're hearing stories that these men, many of whom who don't have any military background at all, are being given around 10 days training in Russia and then being handed guns and sent out to get involved in the fight. And there are lots of stories coming back now of these units performing very badly, lots of these people being killed within the first couple of days of getting to the front line. And there are also lots of reports of these mobilised men being captured, taken prisoner and surrendered. So there is a big question here as to whether or not this mobilisation effort has actually achieved its objective. Because if you're calling people up who don't have any experience, they don't have any training, and they don't have any appetite to be involved in this war, then that's going to be counterproductive in the long term to your war effort. And of course, one of the biggest issues here is whether or not this mobilisation will be the final time that Russia actually calls up men. Because if it transpires that a lot of these mobilised men are either being killed or taken prisoner or surrender, then they're going to run out of those men very quickly. And what will President Putin do at that point? Will he just simply call up more and more people and keep sending them to the front line to be arrested or killed? Or will he change his tactics? And as I've mentioned many times before on the channel, President Putin isn't a man who likes to change his mind. He doesn't do U-turns. So I think it's unlikely that Russia will retreat and decide to exit from Ukraine. But the big question is, what is going to happen over the course of the next 6 months if Russia keeps losing men at the current rates? Before we go on any further today, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Atlas VPN, and to tell you about their amazing Black Friday deal. If you use the internet without any form of protection, you leave yourself exposed to tracking, hacking, and advertising. Using Atlas VPN protects you from all of these. Atlas VPN provides you with comprehensive security and is used by more than 6 million people worldwide. So it's great news that it will stop hacking and tracking and data breaches. But what's also fantastic news is that it can save you money and open up a whole world of entertainment because it allows you to change your location, which gives you the opportunity to get better deals and to access content that may not be available in your region. Atlas VPN is available to use on unlimited devices for one subscription and is currently offering a fantastic Black Friday deal where you get Atlas VPN Premium for just $1.70 per month plus 6 months extra with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Now, this is the best deal that Atlas VPN have offered this year. To steal this exclusive Joe Bloggs Black Friday deal, click on the description in the link below. Over the past 30 years, the car industry has grown to be one of the most significant parts of Russia's manufacturing industry and is one of the biggest parts of the economy, excluding all of its energy products. In 2021, Russia produced around 1.4 million new vehicles. And just to put that into perspective, this chart shows the countries that produced the most new cars in 2021. Now, as you can see, China is by far the largest car manufacturer globally, producing more than 21 million vehicles. But of course, the country does have a population of 1.4 billion. And over the past 10 years, the middle classes have been growing hugely in the country, and the demand for vehicles has increased exponentially. The second largest car manufacturer is Japan, who produced more than 6.6 million vehicles in 2021. Third largest is India, with more than 3.6 million. And of course, India also has a population of 1.4 billion, and there is also growing demand for new cars. The fourth largest car manufacturer was South Korea, producing just over 3.1 million vehicles. Germany produced a similar number and came in at number five. Brazil was number six. Spain, number seven. The USA, number eight, producing 1.56 million vehicles. And Russia came in at number nine with 1.35 million. And I thought it'd be interesting to share this graphic, which shows the number of cars in operation in Russia per 1,000 of population. Now, these figures were put together prior to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, so assumed that growth would continue at the same rates as it had done over the last 10 years or so. And you can see that between 2010 and 2021, the number of cars per 1,000 of population increased from 239 to 359. So that basically means that car ownership went from one in four people back in 2010 to around one in three people in 2021. And it was expected that those figures would continue increasing. And by 2025, car ownership would be around two out of every five people. However, the impact of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the car industry has been massive. What we saw immediately following the invasion was that all of the big OEMs, all of the big car manufacturers who had joint venture facilities in Russia decided that they no longer wanted to continue with those. And so there was a mass exodus of all of the Western companies. Now, that left obviously all of the facilities in place. And in theory, Russia could have just simply nationalized all of those facilities and carried on building vehicles. But the problem that you've got with regards to car manufacturing is that it is a truly global industry. When you look at where parts and equipment are made, it is all over the world. And car manufacturers basically supply all the parts and equipment to all of their different facilities. Now, the problem that Russia has right now is that the sanctions are preventing them from being able to access all of those parts. And that means that they can't produce the vehicles because it's just not possible to be able to complete the car if you don't have all of the components. So this is an absolute nightmare from Russia's perspective. And in fact, during the COVID-19 lockdowns, we saw a massive impact on the car industry as a result of a shortage of microchips. Because microchips were not being produced, nobody could get their hands on them, and that caused car production lines all across the world to grind to a halt because you just simply can't send the car out if it doesn't have all of the technology to make it work. And that's the big problem for Russia because they don't have the parts and equipment and they don't have the technology. So Russia has been facing a massive supply chain issue as a result of the sanctions, but now it's also facing a demand issue as a result of the mobilisation. New car sales in October slumped 62.8% year on year, as falling consumer demand and sentiment quashed what seemed to be the beginnings of a relative recovery in the embattled sector. The Association of European Businesses said 45,228 vehicles were sold during the month, compared to over 120,000 in October 2021. An economist at Centro Credit Bank said the drop in sales in October is not a supply problem, it's a result of the collapse in demand due to mobilisation. And just to put that into perspective, this chart shows the sales volumes of Russian cars over the last 12 months. And you can see that up to the start of the invasion in February, car sales were healthy and Russia was consistently achieving around 120,000 vehicles per month. However, if you look at what's happened during the course of the war, volumes have crashed. And it was hoped that it was making a recovery. You can see that in May, June, July, August and September, the figures were increasing. However, in October, we've seen a fall. And the problem that Russia is facing is that it isn't a supply chain issue. This is being caused by what's happening in the Russian economy. As growth is falling, people are short of money. They don't want to buy new cars. And that is potentially a bigger problem for Russia than the supply chain issues. I've posted a number of videos talking about the impact of the mobilisation on the Russian economy, but I want to share with you now a really interesting video looking at what's going on for barbers in Russia.
Faced with a sharp drop in clients since Russia began mobilising men to fight against Ukraine, Moscow barbers like Kiro Kuryakov's Citizen Barbershop are battling to survive.
Once they announced mobilization, we personally lost 30% of clients for sure. And my friends, barbers who are working in other barbershops, heads and owners of businesses, all noticed a strong drop in clients, which is only getting worse.
Kuryakov added that one of his staff members was taken away to the front line, further impacting the business. And other barbers say they are having to expand their skill set to cut women's hair instead. Hundreds of thousands of men have been summoned to join the army or have fled the country. The central bank last week said mobilization was posing new challenges, especially for small and medium-sized enterprises. It flagged risks linked to a shrinking workforce, as well as consumer and business confidence. And experts say the mobilization has aggravated an existing brain drain from Russia. The Kremlin has announced some financial support for those mobilized. Enlisted servicemen are entitled to payment holidays on loans. Authorities have also sought to give entrepreneurs more time to transfer control of their businesses should they be called up to the army.
So I think this story is really interesting for a number of reasons. Firstly, it shows the real-life impact of calling up 300,000 people and the loss of 700,000 people that went alongside that, all of people who fled the country. That means that you've got less people around, therefore all of your businesses who rely upon domestic demand are going to have less customers, they're going to do less trade, therefore they're going to make less profit and they're going to be under more pressure. And the barbers are a fantastic example because everybody needs to get their hair cut. It's something that you tend to do locally, you just go to your local shop. And if there are less people around, it means that those barbers will do less trade because you can't find alternative customers. There just simply aren't enough people about. So that shows you an excellent real-life example as to what the impact of this will be on the Russian economy. And of course, you can multiply what's happening for barbers across all of the different industries. Because if people have left the country, obviously they'll be buying less cars, they'll be shopping less at stores, they'll be buying less property, and so the whole economy is impacted. But one of the other things that I thought was really interesting from that video is the fact that Russia is putting into place a system whereby entrepreneurs that have their own business will be given time to give that business to somebody else so that they can go and join the fight in Ukraine. What an absolutely insane idea that is. If you've got entrepreneurs that are building your economy, that are helping grow the GDP, the last thing you should be doing is ripping them out of their business and sending them over to Ukraine, potentially never to come back, because they're the people that you need to keep the economy growing. Why you would want to send them over and potentially get killed, I've no idea. That just doesn't make any economic sense whatsoever. If Russia makes a decision that it needs to mobilize more men, it should be looking at what the economic impact of all those individuals is. And it should be picking out people who have the lowest impact, not just taking a random selection of anybody off the streets. Because the relative impact of taking entrepreneurs and key business people out of your economy is that your economy is going to fall even further than it would on average. And so I wanted to highlight this because it just shows you how insane the policies are that are being implemented in Russia right now and what the massive impact on the economy is.
As war chokes Europe, one country is enjoying an unexpected economic boom. Georgia is on course to become one of the world's fastest growing economies this year. That comes following a dramatic influx of more than 100,000 Russians since Moscow's invasion of Ukraine and a mobilization drive to drum up war recruits. Those fleeing Russia's war are accompanied by a wave of money. Between April and September, Russians transferred more than $1 billion to Georgia via banks or money transfer services. That's five times higher than during the same months of 2021, according to the Georgian Central Bank. That inflow has helped push the Georgian lari to its strongest level in 3 years. The country is expected to record a 10% growth in economic output for 2022, which means it would outpace supercharged emerging economies like Vietnam and oil-rich Kuwait. But the growth isn't good for everyone. The arrival of tens of thousands of Russians, including many tech professionals with plenty of cash, is driving up prices and squeezing some Georgians out of parts of the economy, including education and the housing rental market. Rent in Tbilisi is up 75% this year, according to analysis by TBC Bank. Georgia's economic boom has confounded many experts who saw dire consequences from the war for the country. Its economic fortunes are closely tied to neighbouring Russia through exports and tourism. The two share a land border crossing, and Georgia has a liberal immigration policy, which lets Russians, amongst others, live, work and set up businesses without needing a visa.
So I think this is a really fascinating development because, as I've mentioned a million times on the channel before, the whole world is interconnected. And when something happens in one country, it can have a knock-on impact into a lot of other countries. And what we're seeing here is that the mobilization effort that was called by President Putin at the end of September is actually having a beneficial impact on the Georgian economy. Over 112,000 people have moved directly from Russia to Georgia. And a lot of those individuals are highly educated. They've got experience in sectors such as technology, which is highly attractive from an employment point of view. And they're also bringing large quantities of cash with them. So there's been an initial boom in the Georgian economy because a lot of these individuals need to find somewhere to stay. So rents have risen dramatically. They're spending money in the local economy. But if Georgia can actually harness the benefit of all of these people, give them longer term employment and absorb them into their infrastructure, then this could be a really positive move from Georgia's perspective. And just to put this into perspective, Georgia has a population of around 3.7 million people. So an influx of 112,000 represents around 2.5% of the population over a very short space of time. And the really big benefit from Georgia's perspective is that these individuals are highly valuable, both from a skills, employment, and cash perspective. So these are the sort of immigrants that you want coming into your country. And whilst we've highlighted Georgia specifically in this video, there are also a number of other countries such as Kazakhstan, Finland, Mongolia, who've also benefited from this mobilization exodus. So this is very much a situation where Russia's losses are these countries' gains. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because the mobilization that was called at the end of September and has now closed has been one of the biggest disasters of this war so far from an economic perspective. Russia have taken 318,000 people out of its workforce, sent them to Ukraine and put them into a war zone. And in isolation, that would have been a bad move in itself. But the knock-on impact of that mobilization was that over 700,000 people decided that they didn't want to run the risk of being conscripted. They wanted to leave Russia instead. So we've seen over 1 million people leave Russia as a direct result of this mobilization call. And that's within a short space of time, a matter of weeks. Now, the total number of people employed in Russia at the moment is around 72 million. So the million that have been lost recently represents around 1.5% of the total workforce. So that is going to have an impact on anybody's economy. But when you look at who's actually leaving the country, the 700,000 people that have fled are the more educated, the people who are in better jobs, the people who are higher skilled, the technical guys. So these are people that are absolutely critical to the future success of the Russian economy, particularly because they've currently got all these sanctions against them. So Russia can no longer rely upon overseas technology, overseas knowledge. They need to start working their own people. They need to start building their own skills, developing their own equipment and technology. So now is the time to actually look after all of your workforce, to nurture them, to try to get them, to get Russia back onto a world stage. The last thing that you want to do is force all of your best people to leave and not come back, because that's going to accelerate the decline of your economy. And that's exactly what's happening in Russia right now. And you can see it in the automotive trade. Now, the automotive sector is a really good bellwether of what's going on in an economy. If people are doing well, if you're earning more, if you're feeling happy about life, then you'll generally trade your car up, because new cars make people happy. It shows their status. It proves how well they're doing. But when things aren't going well, the opposite takes effect. So people will hold on to their cars longer. They don't want to run the risk of making a big purchase. Spending tens of thousands of dollars on a new car isn't what you want to do if you think that your job's at risk, or you think that you might get conscripted, you could get called up to go to Ukraine. You start worrying about future security of your income, your family, all of those sort of issues. So when an economy starts to go into decline, you often see that new car sales fall rapidly. And that's exactly what's happening in Russia right now. The automotive sector in Russia had been struggling anyway because of the fact that the market is interconnected. It's a global market. So they couldn't access all of the parts and equipment. But they're now getting through that. They're starting to reduce the specification on some of the models. I've heard stories that some of the new cars don't have airbags, or they're not putting in some of the braking systems because they just simply don't have access to any of them. So Russia is starting to find a way around some of the problems. But the bigger problem that Russia's facing right now is that demand has gone off a cliff. Firstly, the mobilization has sent shockwaves through the economy, so people are panicking. Secondly, lots of people have actually left the country, so the number of people who may have thought about buying a car has gone down. And thirdly, everybody's now concerned about future income. So this is really bad news for the automotive sector, but it really tells us a story as to what's going on in Russia right now, because the economy is going rapidly into decline. And the story that we looked at earlier in this video about barbers starting to suffer is really interesting, because that shows that it's going to hit all parts of society. It isn't just big business that's going to suffer as a result of the sanctions and the mobilization. It's hitting every single size of business. And the problem that Russia has right now is that nobody really knows whether or not another mobilization will be called. As I mentioned earlier in the video, the reports that are coming back from the front line are telling us that the mobilized troops are not performing well. They're not equipped to go into this war, so you wouldn't expect them to start winning the battles. And the reports are telling us that Russia are losing lots of people on a daily basis. So there is a very real possibility that President Putin will call another mobilization in 2023. And if he does that, it could be catastrophic from Russia's perspective, because there will be people sitting right now thinking, the mobilization's done, I don't need to worry, I can carry on as I am. But if another one is called, then we could see another break for the border, and this one could be significantly bigger. We could be talking millions of people deciding that now is the time to get out of Russia. And if that happens, obviously, that is going to be even more detrimental to the Russian economy. And I think it's really interesting that countries like Georgia are welcoming in all of these people who are leaving Russia, giving them places to live and trying to get them integrated into their economies. And the longer that this war goes on, and the more these mobilizations are called, the more established all of these people will be in places like Georgia, Kazakhstan, Finland, and therefore it's less likely that they'll go back. And that's going to cause even more problems for Russia, because if all of these people leave permanently, then the Russian economy will start shrinking as a result of the fact that there will be less people living in the country. And as I've mentioned in previous videos, Russia already has a problem right now, because in the late 90s, the birth rate fell and the death rate increased. And so they've got a real shortage of people between 15 and 30 right now. So the overall summary on today's video is that even though the mobilization is now over, President Putin has drawn a line under it, the implications and the impact on the Russian economy are still really to be seen. They're starting to feed through. We're starting to see problems occurring all across the economy. And over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, those problems are going to get worse because firstly, there's less people. So that's less demand, less money going round. Secondly, there are shortages of staff. They lost over 1 million people in a very short space of time. It's very difficult to be able to replace all of those people. That means that the companies that those people are working for will be less productive, their output will be less, and they'll be shrinking, they'll be making less profit, and that's going to accelerate the declines that we're seeing right now. But thirdly, and probably most critically, the war is still going on. Russia is losing people. There is a very high likelihood that another mobilization will be called. And if that happens, that could be the breaking point for the Russian economy. So hopefully you found today's video useful, informative, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up. And don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.